Hi, I'm Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton, and you're listening to Single High, a Notre Dame football podcast from UHND.com, the official home of the Kyle Hamilton Fan Club.
Back to throw, Meyer. Looks, rolls to the right. Pump fake, throws the ball. It is caught, Reggie Brooks! Reggie Brooks got it!
Downfield, and Hamilton again, coming over from that safety position and making the interception.
DB's on the field, the Sherron Jones throws.
To go almost 20 yards.
Ishmael down around the 5-yard line. The kick will come down and Ragib will take it. Takes it at the 12, 15, 20, 25. He's at the 30. Afterburners are on. He's gone.
That is the All-American Kyle Hamilton. His sixth career interception.
40, 45, 50. Down the sideline. At the 35. Or right to the goal line. At the 10. The 5. A touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Frank Vitovich and Greg Flamon.
Welcome back to another edition of Single High, Notre Dame football podcast from UHND.com. Coming to you a few days before the Gator Bowl and also coming to you on the heels of Pete Thamel's big report that Sam Hartman will be entering, or has actually already entered, the transfer portal with Notre Dame as the likely, quote, or likely destination for Hartman services. So we got a lot to talk about with you, for the next hour or so. I am one of your hosts, Frank Vitovich, joined as always by the president of the Kyle Hamilton Fan Club and video analyst at Irish Sports Daily, Mr. Greg Flamong. Greg, how we doing 2 days after Christmas? Notre Dame looks like they might be about to get a hell of a present, hopefully. But how are we feeling tonight?
I feel good, right? Yeah. I mean, I guess cautiously optimistic, right? I mean,
oh yeah,
you gotta take the news as it comes, you know, take it for what it is, right? Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, look, I think when the Thamel bomb drops, it carries a little bit more weight, right?
Just a little.
Like if Pete Thamel had tweeted out that Peyton Bowen was likely to sign with Notre Dame, I would have felt a lot more confident. Like he just seems to get these kind of scoops, right? So
that's why he's got the job that he does.
Right, that's why he has the job that he does. So I think when he drops the scoop, but at the same time, like there's going to be other teams involved in this.
I trust
anytime,
nothing.
Yeah, anytime there's another team involved or other schools involved in, you know, the NIL era, then you know that I'll say this, you know, the other teams aren't afraid of Notre Dame.
No.
In terms of like, oh, we can throw money at this and they're not gonna
100%.
We're gonna get over on them. So we'll see. I think there's reasons to believe that, you know, that the NIL part, at least the guaranteed part of it, is going to be mitigated some.
True.
So we'll see if that carries some weight for Notre Dame.
We will. And before we get too far, most important part, or maybe the most important part of the show. There we go. I opened up my beer. I'm not going to lie to y'all. It's not my first of the night. It's been a hell of a few days with travel delays for my family and I. So I may have had one or two already this evening, but this is just brilliant. This beer that I'm drinking tonight is called Brew Jersey. Do you see what they did there with the brew?
Yeah, I got it. I see that.
Because it's New Jersey, but this is Brew Jersey. So from Icarus Brewery here in New Jersey. So we're gonna see how this tastes. But yeah, man, it's been a few days since we've last spoken. On the heels of Peyton Bowen going to Oklahoma, but let's give this a little try. Oh, that's good. That's real nice. That's nicer. Like I said, that's nicer than my travel luck over the last few days. But for those of you who've been following on Twitter, did run into some travel glitches here over the holidays, but still nothing that compares to the poor souls who have flown Southwest Airlines over the last few days. I hope no Notre Dame fans planning on going to the Gator Bowl on on Friday have flights through Southwest. If you do and you're listening to this, I strongly recommend that you cancel. You get another flight, you drive, you do anything other than get on a Southwest plane right now, because it sounds like you got about a 10% chance of that plane actually, you know, taking off in the next week or so. But my God, what just utter madness. Watching all the Southwest tweets and news made me feel a little bit better about my own, cancellations and trials and tribulations of trying to get bags back after a canceled flight. But, man, it is, it's wild just watching. I just can't believe that an actual major airline is having the issues that Southwest is having right now. But hey, we're not here to talk about aviation. We're here to talk about, other things that fly through the air. And that is football is coming off the arm of hopefully Sam Hartman next year for Notre Dame. I don't know how I pulled that transition together. That was just straight out of my ass on this one. But I mean, we've heard this news now for, you know, for a week. I think it initially, you know, there were initially rumblings from, I want to say, the 24/7 Wake Forest sites. I forget which of the sites came out with it first, but
yeah, it was a 24/7 site, I believe.
And it was on the 23rd. It was the day of Wake's bowl game. It was like the morning of their bowl game. It was like Hartman is going to enter the portal after this game, and it's going to be Notre Dame. And it was like, well, okay. Because remember last week, it was like 6 days ago when we potted, we were talking about like, what is Notre Dame going to do at transfer quarterback? Because the transfer quarterbacks were dropping like flies. Hudson Card went to Purdue on Monday. So there was another one, you know, another one off the board. And it was like, well, what's Notre Dame going to do? And we talked about Hartman. And I think we both were like, I don't know if he's even going to go to the portal. Like, why would, you know, I think we were both even skeptical of it being an option. And then it was like 2 days later, you have the 24/7 Wake sites coming out saying he'll be in the portal after the bowl game. And it's going to be Notre Dame. And now here we are, less than a week later, and now you got Pete Thamel of ESPN, you know, putting it out there. It's on the homepage of ESPN right now that Sam Hartman is likely to Notre Dame. It's not anything official, you know. If there's anything we've learned as Notre Dame fans in the last 2 years, it's like, do not trust a single thing until ink is dry or whatever, or the, you know, the DocuSign is submitted, since I guess nothing is signed anymore, but it's promising. It's probably the most promising bit of quarterback news I can remember Notre Dame getting in, I mean, a long time. When's the last time Notre Dame had, the last time you heard of something regarding the Notre Dame quarterback position where you felt that it could potentially be, you know, as impactful as this? Yeah, it's been a while.
I mean, well, I'm trying to gauge like how much of a big deal I think this is versus
I should have asked that first then. How much of a big deal do you think this is?
I think it's a big deal.
And hypothetically,
I think for sure it's a big deal. I mean, it's a really good player. I think you listened to Hit and Hustle today. I think he is basically everything that fans wanted Ian Book to be.
Yes.
Just because fans wanted it doesn't mean that it was going to translate to something. You know what I mean? But like,
very true.
I don't think they're that dissimilar. Yeah. I think Ian was much better athlete.
Right.
And he was much more of a runner, but like Hartman, you know, people want, take chances and push the ball downfield. Like Hartman, he'll do that, right? Like he'll definitely push the ball downfield. He had 90 plus attempts of 20 plus yards last year. He completed five more passes of 20 plus yards than Drew Pine attempted. Right. So he completed 41 passes of 20 plus yards. Drew Pine attempted 36. That just kind of goes to show. Right.
And that's with an offensive line that's not exactly giving him, you know, a ton of time.
Right. He was definitely pressured a lot more at Wake Forest, and the pressure rate was higher. And, you know, Drew Pine was dealing with very clean pockets a lot of the time. And Sam Hartman is a very good clean pocket passer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's got an over 90 grade on PFF, which whatever. But, I mean, his NFL passer rating is also really high with clean pockets too. So that's another part. So there's, you know, that whole piece. So it's just like there are a lot of things to like about this. Obviously, you watch any game of his. I mean, he'll throw the ball to the other team. I mean, that's
it does happen.
Yeah, he does it a lot. Like, he had, I think it was 18 turnover worthy throws last year, which is, I mean, 18. You know, that's
not,
you know,
a small number.
It's not something you're used to as a Notre Dame fan, right? Like, since all that broke. I guess over the bowl game, so it was last week, pre-Christmas, and then today again, like, I watched some of his games, and it's like, man, what's he doing with that pass, you know? Like, that's kind of crazy. And so there's a lot of that, which I just don't really remember thinking that.
Yeah.
You know, watching Notre Dame quarterbacks. So
true.
You know, it's a give and take, right? And I think if Notre Dame is going to be a more vertical team, if they're going to be like a true, like, hey, we are really going to get the most out of our wide receivers. And he gives his wide receivers chances. He gives them the ball and spots to give them chances. It's kind of a lot of exciting things. And I think that it gives Notre Dame's offense the chance to be completely different than what we're used to. And I think you and I both made the analogy, funny enough, to the, to the 2004 Brady Quinn to the 2005 Brady Quinn, right? Where it was completely different. And yes. I don't think those numbers are going to, I don't think Jaden Thomas or Deion Cole is going to catch 70 passes next year for like 1200 yards. I don't think
you watch that. Deion, that's my guy now.
But my point is, I did liken Deion Colsey to Maurice Stovall coming out of high school. That's a true thing that I did.
I love it.
But I do think there's a chance that, like, the way that we view Notre Dame's offense is going to shift in a pretty big way if Sam Hartman is a quarterback. So
I agree. And I feel like it almost, I mean, if you look at what Notre Dame's wanted to do on offense the last 2 years coming out, you know, of the initial few weeks of the season, it feels like Hartman is the kind of quarterback that can let Tommy Rees do that. Because you remember, beginning of 2021, yeah, they were dialing up all those deep shots and all the vertical passing, you know, for Jack Cohn. And it was like, it just wasn't quite his game. He kept missing Lindsey on the deep bombs. He did connect on a couple, you know, longer passes that were more contested catches, you know, early in 2021. But it was like the offense that they wanted Cohn to execute wasn't the offense that got Notre Dame to 11-1 last year. They completely revamped it, right? In the middle of the season, and we talked about the fact that, you know, Tommy Rees is great at kind of like revamping midseason, not necessarily great at understanding what he has in camp and building the offense around it, which is a concern. But they seemed like they wanted to do a little more of that, you know, this year, and again, couldn't quite. You know, Buckner wasn't hitting on those deep passes. At least he missed, you know, the one to Lindsey at the end of the first half against, Marshall. And then, you know, then he gets hurt and, you know, the whole offense goes out the window because Drew Pine is not, you know, Tyler Buckner, you know, in terms of athleticism or his arm. So it seems like Hartman might be the kind of quarterback that, like, Rees really wants to have in this offense, and to do the kind of things that, you know, maybe he's been limited in terms of, you know, what he's been able to do the last 2 years. So it's pretty exciting from that regard. You look at Hartman's numbers and they are, aside from the interceptions, I mean, they're pretty impressive. 77 touchdowns, I think it is. I think I did my math right. 77 touchdowns the last two seasons alone.
Yeah.
Notre Dame had 52 touchdown passes the last two seasons alone. Now, granted, Notre Dame has run much different offense, you know, than Wake Forest the last 2 years. And a lot of times, you know, they were ahead and that's why they ran the ball, but that's still a pretty significant difference. And I do wonder too, like you even said that, you know, Hartman took some chances, but I mean, you know, a quarterback's more likely to take chances when you're trailing, you know, when you're behind in games and you know you have to make, you know, big plays. So I do wonder, you know, how is that decision making going to look next year, potentially, hypothetically, if he's playing for Notre Dame? How will it look if he's got cleaner pockets, if he's got a better offensive line, if he's tend to playing with leads more? Is he going to be less likely to, you know, to force some passes? Those are the kind of things that I don't think anybody can really know. You know, I mean, maybe there's, you know, there's coaches that have broken it down, or, you know, people have broken it down. I was like, well, you know, a lot of those interceptions came when he's down X number of points or something. You know, I don't know, but, I think it'd be interesting to see. I think it's going to be, it would be a lot of fun. The Notre Dame offense would be a lot of fun next year if you had somebody like Sam Hartman, running the show. Especially when, like I said, you combine, it's not just the line, right? I mean, Notre Dame's got some receivers that they have the talent. We just haven't really used them, you know, that well. I mean, we've seen flashes from Thomas. We've seen flashes from Colsey. We saw brief, like, glimmers of flashes from, you know, from Merriweather, since he only had the one catch, but it happened to be a 41-yard touchdown. Hopefully we see a little more of that, you know, a little more from Merriweather on, you know, on Friday. But there's some dudes who can catch the ball and that are going to be open if Sam Hartman is, you know, is back there for, you know, for Notre Dame. So I look at this and I say, of all the quarterbacks, if you know, on November, whatever, 29th, 30th, whatever the last Saturday of the season was, I can't remember anymore. Might have not even been the 30th, whatever. Whatever that last Saturday of the season was, of all the quarterbacks that we thought would be in the portal, You know that were like, you know, who would you want Notre Dame to get? If somebody was like, Sam Hartman is going to be in the portal, I'd be like, well, that he got to be at the top of my list, because I think it just is a great fit for where Notre Dame's quarterback room is right now too. Because I know a lot of Notre Dame fans were really, really enamored with Hudson Card, and I get it. You know, he had a good pedigree coming out of high school. He's got 3 years of eligibility left, but it's like, all right, very limited body of work that you could see it against. And so, but he did it against Bama. It's like, okay, I get that too, right? But like at the same time, it's like small window. Bama had like probably no film to go off of in that game, you know, for him. But it seems like even still, like as this Hartman news has kind of been, you know, developing, there's been a lot of fans who are like, oh, I don't know. Seems like there's like a school of thought among some Notre Dame fans that it's like, well, you know, Hartman's kind of, you know, exactly what Notre Dame's had. And I'm like, got it. Notre Dame's had a quarterback that's thrown 110 career touchdown passes on the roster, and I missed it, right? It's like, it's kind of wild. But, I mean, Hartman would have been near the top of my list at the end of the season, if not at the top of the list, because I can't personally look at any quarterback that's been in the portal this cycle that I would say I absolutely positively would rather that guy, you know, over Sam Hartman for multitude of reasons, you know, the skill. But I also think it's like a perfect, you know, scenario. If he's got 1 year left, it probably doesn't scare off somebody like Buckner. If, you know, if he knows this guy's only going to be here for, you know, for a year. And then it's like, okay, then you have next year, you have Buckner, Minchie, and Carr. And it's like, well, shit, that's a pretty good top three. Right?
Yeah.
So where would Hartman, again, let's go back November 28th, 9th, whenever the hell that was, and somebody told you Hartman was going to be in the portal versus the other quarterbacks that you knew, you know, were in the portal or have come out, where would he have ranked for you?
That I knew came out? Well, I think of all the quarterbacks, he would have been only behind McCall.
Okay.
But McCall is like, it's kind of a different thing. Like I don't know how to, I just think McCall is a lot of fun. And I think he's he's super versatile. Mm-hmm. And I think he's very exciting in that way. So like, it's just like the way that Notre Dame runs their offense. Like, I feel like he's just a kind of a souped up, Tyler Buchner.
Okay.
Just like if Tyler Buchner turned out to be Grayson McCall, like that would be a, like 90th percentile outcome.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, but Hartman is like, they're different, right? Like Hartman is a big passer, right? Like, it's a huge, like, I want to chuck, right? He's like, oh, he's kind of like a chucker, right? And which is fun. So, but I, it would have been those two, like one and two. I mean, look, if there's a Notre Dame fan out there who is like, I don't like this, look, free to have your opinion, right? Like, that's fine. But I don't know. What are you hoping for?
I don't know.
What do you think is coming out of the portal?
You're hoping for another Caleb Williams, which is not going to happen.
Yeah, like, you want Spencer Sanders? Like, do you want – I mean, Hudson Card. I mean, you know, there's a lot of – there's a lot to like about the guy. That's fine. But, like, he never won a job. He's never had his own team. You know, if you're Notre Dame, you need someone – Notre Dame needs someone who can lead the team.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, Sam Hartman can do. I mean, he has the all-time ACC touchdowns, which is like, you know, maybe he played a long time, but that's the whole point. It's like, he's been in college football. He's led his own team a couple of times, right?
Yep.
So, you know, that's what Notre Dame was looking for there. I mean, I'm just trying to think of like Graham Mertz. Like, Florida got Graham Mertz. Like, would you, you know, I mean, you think Florida would rather have, you know, Sam Hartman? I think so.
Yes.
I think they would. You know, Arizona State got Drew Pine, you know? So, this is a pretty big coup for Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's a better, I tell you this, if it was like between Jack Cohn and Sam Hartman, I'd rather have Sam Hartman.
Oh, definitely.
So, well, not definitely. I mean, Jack Cohn wasn't a bum, but like,
not a bum, but I think it's definite. Like, I don't think there's a question there. I mean, not that Jack Cohn was bad, but I if you ask me again, like, Sam Hartman, like, right away,
right,
without hesitation,
right. So I just think, you know, especially given what's around him, you know, it makes all of a sudden, if I'm a wide receiver on the Notre Dame team, or if I'm incoming or whatever, if I'm Caleb Smith, who just came from Virginia Tech, and that terrible situation, right? And it's like, man, I get to go play with Sam Hartman.
Yeah.
All he does is give wide receivers chances to make plays, right? If I'm Tobias Merriweather, if I'm Jaden Thomas, if I'm Deon Coley, if I'm Lorenzo Styles, like, I look and it's like, man, we got a guy now who
allegedly
the most out of,
hypothetically,
no, I'm saying if that happens, right, if they're looking at this, and I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, like, if someone's going to be upset about this, I mean, you're talking about, you're maximizing what those guys can be, which only makes the running game better.
It doesn't mean
that they need to do what Wake Forest is doing. It just maximizes all those weapons, right? Like, and that's what you're looking for. Right. And it's, look, and this is a huge test for Tommy Rees. Right. You have a guy, you know, can push the ball down the field. You have a guy, you know, can make plays in the passing game. Right. If you can't get the most out of, like, the Tobias Merriweathers and the Jaden Thomases and the Styles and all those guys. And I'll tell you what, if I'm Braden Lindsay, apparently he's not coming back for nothing, but Notre Dame, maybe he could be like, hey, maybe I changed my mind, you know,
yeah.
This could be a thing for him, right? Like, I got a guy who loves to get the ball down the field, and it just so happens that that's something that I like to do, you know? So,
right.
I don't know. I are they going to pick up another wide receiver in the portal? Right. Is he going to bring someone from Wake Forest? Right. So, yeah, man, this is, look, maybe you can quibble with his game if you like, but this would be a very big coup for Notre Dame, you know, the football team.
Oh, 100%. There was actually one person on Twitter who was like basically trying to say that this is a downgrade from Drew Pine.
That's crazy.
Like, I know.
That's insane.
Literally, person was like, why, tell me why this isn't a downgrade from Drew Pine. Responded to a tweet I had, and I was like, you know what? If you honestly think that Sam Hartman is a downgrade from Drew Pine, there is nothing I can tell you in 280 characters that will make you realize
he's literally better at everything.
Yeah, there's not
and that's not even it's not even a slight on Drew Pine. Just
no, I agree. It's just, it is such a significant, it would be, I should say. just such a significant upgrade at the quarterback position. And that was why my mind also went to the difference between 2004 to 2005. Brady Quinn, where it went from like a passing game that really couldn't do a whole lot to a passing game that could do almost at all. And it also, I mean, that passing game also, 2004 to 2005 had a bunch of guys who went from being, sophomore. Well, it had Samardzija going from sophomore to, to junior. And then, Stovall was going from his junior to his senior year. Raymond McKnight going from junior to senior year. You had guys who gotten older at the receiver position, along with just the change in offense. But I mean, I think you will see that kind of, again, if it is Hartman, I think you'll see that kind of change where, this might be, we might see the kind of offense that Brian Kelly always wanted to run at Notre Dame, where you could just chuck it, right? And you don't even, and then you said, I mean, it just makes the running game that much more of a weapon, because it's like, well, now you have to respect, the downfield pass. You got to respect, you have to respect every area of the football field, from a passing game perspective. We'll open up the run. And when you have a beast like Audric Estime or, other running backs who are, who have their own, have their own skills, it's potentially pretty exciting, in terms of what it would do for this, what it would do for this offense. And I mean, when it would probably be like that 2005 offense might be the last offense that I could think of that would be, as potentially as prolific as what could happen, next year. Right? 2005?
I mean, the 2009 offense was pretty good. I mean,
that's true. Really it just offense. Gets lost in like just the nonsense of that season.
Yeah, the 2009 offense. I mean, the 2015 offense was really good.
That's true. But the 2015 offense would be much different, I think, than what we'll see next year.
To be honest, I don't even know what we would see. I don't know what Reese would do. I'm very curious as to how he'd handle
it. I tell you what, he better not be freaking running on 2nd and 10 next year if Sam Hartman
I don't think that would happen. That's the thing that Sam Hartman does. You're not afraid to throw on any down.
I'm gonna be very upset if we're running every 2nd and 10 next year with if Sam Hartman is the quarterback at Notre Dame. But still hypothetical. Still not finalized. I'm trying not to get my hopes up because, the football has been pulled away by Lucy for us Notre Dame fans quite a bit in the NIL era. Just last week, Peyton Bowen was coming to Notre Dame 17 times, however many times it was, right? Until he wasn't. Until I see the graphic, from Notre Dame football, announcing it, I'm going to be skeptical, just cause, I don't want to get hurt again, in terms of getting my hopes too high. As you can tell, they're already pretty high, but, I know you even alluded to it that like, Notre Dame has not had great success in recent weeks, when it comes to NIL. You look at how some of the recruitments ended. You look at how even, the kind of alleged reason Notre Dame lost out on Braden Fisk, the Western Michigan defensive tackle. Most reports were that NIL was, a deciding factor, there, in why he ended up at Florida State, versus Notre Dame. But a week ago, reports were that Notre Dame was the likely destination for Braden Fisk, and he is at Florida State now. So nothing is official in this day and age of college football until it is, right? And we've talked about it. NIL is not a big deal for a player until it is, right? Until some program who's desperate just says, screw it, let's offer Sam Hartman $10 million to come here next year. And I don't know that they, I just threw out a crazy number, but like, at this point, nothing else would surprise me either. If some school was like, we have all the pieces, we need a quarterback, we're just going to throw a lot of money at a player, it's like, well, shit, yeah, who could turn that down if that happened? So until Notre Dame is totally out of the woods, it is still hypothetical. And, you know, we'll see how quickly things can move here. You know, we're looking at today is the 27th. We're recording. It'll be the 28th when most of you listen to this. Notre Dame's got the bowl game, you know, on the 30th. I don't know what Notre Dame's plans are. I mean, that's a Friday. You know, how quickly, you know, are they going to get back to campus and potentially be able to host, you know, a transfer? Yeah, Hartman's a graduate transfer, so it's not like, you know, he's going to really worry about class or anything like that. And it's also not like, you know, a normal recruiting weekend where it's like, well, you have to be there for the full weekend. Like, I mean, they could host. I don't know how quickly they can host. I'm assuming they're going to want to host quick. Because if you know, if reports are accurate that Notre Dame's a likely destination, Notre Dame needs to act quick. They need to lock it up before some other program does get desperate and start, you know, doing something stupid that that Notre Dame's not going to be able to compete with. So we'll see. It is definitely promising, though. And if you think about where the Notre Dame quarterback room was 2 months ago versus where it could be, you know, in a couple weeks here, like, wow. You know, we went mid-season from losing out on Dante Moore, having like no idea who Notre Dame was going to get as quarterbacks. Yeah, at one point it was like a two-star lacrosse slash football scholarship guy possibly coming in and being the quarterback, and you're like, well, what the hell is going on? To possibly having Sam Hartman transfer in and signing Kenny Minchie, who is a pretty damn good, you know, recruit at quarterback, you know, in his own right. That is, it's quite the turn. Quite the turn for that room, considering where, you know, where it was not very long ago.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And quite the turn for the receivers, too. I think that's a big deal.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, and you start to see then, too, like, what that will do to recruiting in general. I mean, obviously, my guy, Chancey Stuckey, who I have to bring up every podcast now, you know, did a hell of a job getting, you know, four pretty good receivers, you know, to sign, even though Notre Dame's offense was not that prolific. You know, when it comes to passing, you know, this season, it's like, man, if Chancey Stuckey can do that with an offense that threw for, I think it was like just, it was like under 2,400 yards on the season, and Notre Dame averaged less than 200 passing yards a game, right? And Chauncey Stuckey got the four receivers that he did. What the hell is the guy going to be able to do if Sam Hartman comes out next year and throws for, you know, 4,000 yards and, you know, 36 touchdowns? He's going to be able to do some damage. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that again, it's all still hypothetical, but it's all very potentially exciting. So, and it all makes up for it. It's been a week, man, for Notre Dame football when you think of it. Losing Bowen, you know, losing Fisk on the transfer market on Monday to this. Like, that's potentially, you know, but that is the roller coaster of college football these days.
I was going to say, man, like, that's why it's just like you don't get too high or too low on any of this stuff. Like,
there's no, man,
the next
it's day, like,
there's always the next.
It's like they said in Happy Gilmore. Thing. Man, you put the quarter in, you get on the carousel, and it goes up and down and around. Circular, Greg. That's where we're at. We're at, you know, we're hopefully at a bit of a high point, you know, of the carousel. I'll tell you what, I hope we stay there on Friday with the Gator Bowl coming up, because it's so funny. The state of bowl games these days, it's like, no one's really talking about it. It's like, yeah, this is fun. We get to watch Notre Dame on Friday, but it's like, you know, South Carolina's missing like 10, 11 guys. Notre Dame's missing some guys. We're talking, we just spent half an hour talking about a guy who's not even on the roster, who could potentially be on the roster next year when Notre Dame's got a bowl game, you know, Friday afternoon in, you know, in the Gator Bowl. It's just wild what has happened to non-playoff game bowl games. These days. And I think you and I, even, you know, as we were talking, kind of prepping for this, it's just kind of at the same place with this bowl game where it's like, you know, excited to watch this team play, because it's been a while. The last game we got to see them play wasn't that much fun. Wasn't a whole lot of fun. And then even just like, while the Hartman news is fun, it's like, it hasn't been a great off season, or, you know, since that last game for Notre Dame. It's like, you really, you know, you lost out on, we lost out on Bowen, you know, at the, you know, at the end there. And it's like, I just want to watch football. And like, I just want to watch, I want to watch Notre Dame play. And, you know, we'll see what, you know, what ends up happening in the bowl game. It's like, I don't know. Bowl games to me today feel like it's almost like any outcome is possible. Like any team could blow out any team, where maybe that wasn't the case in the past. But like when you start factoring in the opt outs and all the other stuff, it's like, you know, it's so hard to predict what team is mentally there, what team is not, what team is there is, you know, more concerned about their bowl game gift bag and that, you know, and that kind of stuff. But, I don't know. We'll see. How are you feeling at least going into this game?
I mean, I'm definitely intrigued to see what happens. I mean, to your point, like the thing with the opt outs is like it doesn't really do anything for me on the excitement front.
Yeah,
it's just that the teams cease to be what they were.
Yeah,
like Notre Dame's Notre Dame's 8-4, right? And South Carolina's 8-4, but like Notre Dame's 8-4 because of Michael Mayer and Isaiah Foskey and Cam Hart and Drew Pine, right? Like that's why they're 8-4.
Yep.
And those guys aren't playing. And South Carolina's 8-4 because of the, you know, 11 starters that they're losing. So like you don't have, you're down 11 starters. Notre Dame's down, you know, a bunch of start, like four of their key players. And so it's just kind of like it ceases to be what it's just completely devoid from the regular season.
Right? Yeah.
And so there's that, right? But you get to like, I am still intrigued. Like I'm very interested to watch Tyler Buchner play. I'm very interested to see how he like what kind of offense he's able to run, what they kind of what they want him to do. You know, there was always the question of like, what would Tyler Buchner look like behind this offensive line?
Yeah. And
luckily for him, the offensive line has stayed intact. Yep. So, you know, that's a big part of it, right? How can he, the receivers, right? Like how can he gel with them? How does he throw the ball? All these other things, right? Can Notre Dame incorporate like Jordan Bataho? Can Jordan Bataho be a bigger factor, right? Like he's going to be a key player and playing Viper next year.
Yeah.
What is Jalen Snead? Does he get on the field, right? How much does he play like in real snaps? Xavier Watts, like does he continue his ascent? You know, Jaden Mickey, can he bounce back? And on and on and on, right? Like there's just so many intriguing parts of the game that I want to see that don't really have much to do with like the outcome. Now, granted, I know once the game starts, I'm going to want them to win, and I'm going to want, you know, like, but like today, like I'm not super interested in like breaking down film of South Carolina and, you know, finding out what they're about. Cause who even knows, right? Like there's so much unknown. Right. So I'm excited for it. I can't wait to watch them. I've itching. I'm always itching to watch Notre Dame play football. So I'm very excited for it. But I'm almost like it's almost like a relief to not have all of that like stress and baggage, right? Like it's just it's almost like a free roll.
You know what it is? It's almost like you ever have friends who like a team and could just like watch it and the game ends and they're just like, oh, that was cool. And they just like completely forget the outcome, win or lose, and they don't let it affect them. And you're just like, God, I wish that could happen to me. Like I can't, but you know, if you listen to this podcast too, like most of you can't turn that switch off either, where you're just like, oh yeah, no, we lost. Oh, okay. I'm going to go on my day. No, like it eats at you and you're just, you go to bed. And if it's a night game, just laying there, like, I can't believe we dropped that pass or we food, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, that's kind of how the bowl games nowadays feel to me, where it's like, oh, this is what it's like to be a casual sports fan that doesn't let a team, you know, dictate their, you know, their kind of emotional, you know, well-being for, you know, 24, 48 hours at a time, maybe even longer sometimes. But it's nice, right? Because, I'll be honest. Like, I keep forgetting at times. I'm like, oh yeah, the bowl game's Friday. The bowl game is Friday, right? Okay. You keep kind of forgetting like when it is, where it has like, I'm already like the Sunday Eagles game. I'm like, okay, that's a big game now because, you know, the Eagles need that one, clinch number one seed. And it's like that game, it's a regular season game. And it's like, it's more anxiety producing than a bowl game. It's kind of given where we're at in college football. So I, like you, I'm excited to see what Buckner does though. Cause I mean, we spent a half an hour talking about, you know, Sam Hartman, but this is Tyler Buckner's chance, right? This is Buckner's chance, to play behind the line that he didn't get to play behind. It's his chance to be like, hey, I'm still here. Like, so this, you know, this quarterback position goes through me. Whoever comes in is going to have to beat me out and, you know, and wrestle this job away from me. So I'm excited to see that. I don't think we're going to see him. And honestly, for his sake, I really hope we don't see him run a lot, to be honest, because it's like, dude, guy's gotten hurt a few times. He's going to be playing on a, you know, shoulder that is, you know, freshly healed. Like, let's let him pass. Let's see what he can do. Don't put him in a position where he's going to, you know, where he's going to get hit too many times. Don't do what my Philadelphia Eagles did with Jalen Hurts and run him 17 times against, you know, a not great team and get him hurt, you know, and miss more games, kind of miss more time. But excited to see what, you know, what he can do. You named a lot of the, you know, the defensive players that I'm going to be looking at, you know, as well, because it's like it's really kind of a look ahead to 2023 as to like, you know, what some of these other players are going to do, because now that, like, you know, most of the, you know, the marquee players do opt out, it's like, I mean, hey, I'm glad that like a Jarrett Patterson is going to be playing in this game, and it's like hats off to him for playing in it. But it's like, it's really hard to be like, man, I want, you know, to watch an offensive lineman to be like, I just hope he goes out and has a great game, right? Because it's like, yeah, obviously you do, but it's not like, there's not like a receiver on this team. Maybe Braden Lindsey, because again, reports are he's not coming back, where he's like, I want to see him go out with like a big game, or, you know, at least a big play here. Notre Dame doesn't really have a defensive player that we're looking at where it's like, well, this is their last game. I'm going to go out with a bang. I mean, maybe a Brandon Joseph, because I think most people still think that, like, even though he's playing, probably not going to be back next year. At least it's kind of the general consensus, although I still question where he'll get drafted based on what we saw this season. But, you know, for the most part, you know, we're looking ahead to next year with this game. So speaking of that, I don't think we got this question. I know we got a lot of questions, and we got to them in a little bit. But who's one player that you're really looking at in this game that you think is going to have a good game that's going to kind of springboard them to a 2023, like, you know, big season? So, like, who is, like, the Camping World Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah of this bowl game in your eyes? Because if you remember, folks, you know, JOK was pretty good that season.
Yeah.
But then in that Camping World Bowl, it was just, like, he was a completely different player. He used that month of practice and flipped a switch and was like, no, I am a badass now. And guess what? College football, get ready for me. And then he had, you know, a Butkus award winning season. So who's your guy?
I'm trying to think if,
Give me offense or defense or one of both.
I'm trying to think of an offensive player that I think is fits this.
Okay. Mine is an offensive player.
Okay. Maybe I'll let you do it, because I'll just say Watts.
Okay.
I think he fits.
Well, yeah, especially now that Notre Dame isn't a Bowen, too. It's like Notre Dame needs a safety.
Right. But, no, I just think he fits, right? Like, he's kind of in that JOK mold. It's like, yeah, he did some stuff during the regular season, but
yeah,
it's like he could have a bowl game where it's like, whoa.
And he was kind of athletic, you know, where a guy who's like up to this point in his career been more kind of like pure athleticism versus a lot of production. I like that one. Mine on offense is it's, again, hopefully more projection than anything else, but I'm hoping it's Tobias Merriweather. I saw some quotes from Tommy Rees today, about him, just in general, talking about how he didn't get to play much at the end of the season, but they trust him now. And I hope we see at least one deep shot called for him. Because it's pretty good on that one against Stanford, and we haven't seen a whole lot since. So I'm hoping it's Merriweather where we see him make a couple big plays. And I don't think he's going to, by any means, going to get like, seven catches for 150 yards. But I would love to see like two for 85, where one of them is like a 65 yard touchdown. And you're just like, okay, all right, Tobias. That's what we've been hoping to see. And that's, that's kind of my hope. At least on offense, because otherwise, I mean, I guess you could maybe say on offense like a Holden stays, at tight end, or even a Mitchell Evans at tight end, but I kind of think Stays is going to be the better receiver of the two. So everybody else is kind of like you could say Jaden Thomas or Deion Colsey too. I mean, both of them kind of had their moments, already at the end of the season though. I don't think it'd be any of the running backs because they've all showed they can play well. So, hell, who it could be? Maybe. Maybe. It could be Tyree.
Could be.
Tyree, in the limited work with Buckner last year, looked really good with him in the game. So, we'll see if it's, who it can be. But it's just going to be good to watch football, right? I mean,
yeah.
Hell, how many times do we say NIL on this podcast today?
I know, right?
It's annoying.
It's annoying. It is.
It's really annoying. And even like we're getting all excited about the transfer portal. It's like, there's part of me that is like, oh man, this is what college football is now. The similarities and differences between college football and pro football these days is they're not that different anymore. And if anything, it's like, at least there's rules in the NFL, right? There's a salary cap in the NFL. There's actual real, there's real consequences, for breaking the rules, and things like that. So college football is at a weird spot right now where I've definitely had moments over the last, I would say 2 months where I'm just like, oh, all right. Like, it's like at least the NFL has rules on some of these things. And it's like even something like the transfer portal, which I think is a good thing in theory, like the ability of players to transfer, kind of freely when coaches can leave whenever the hell they want. Yeah, I think it's a good thing for the players. I don't necessarily think it's a good thing when they have it. Right. It's like, cool. Do it right at the end of the regular season, before bowl games, so that you have this scenario that you have even for the Gator Bowl with South Carolina having 11 starters out. Why not have that after the playoffs conclude? Like the NFL has their free agency after the Super Bowl is over, right? So those kind of things, and maybe college football figures it out, but. There's some things college football needs to figure out. I think you even said it on Hit and Hustle today though. Like the toothpaste is out of the tube for NIL. There's no going back. But I mean, I just don't know if there's. I don't see how you wrangle things in anymore. Like, I just don't, right? Yeah, I agree. You said it. You're like, the NCAA doesn't have the resources to do it, and they definitely don't have, the conviction to do it.
Don't have the infrastructure or the will. And so...
Or the desire. I don't think they want cares. To.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care. Like, I think as long as viewership of games is up, as long as people are going to games, like, they could care less. They really don't. And I think as college football fans, we just have to kind of get used to that. And once we get used to it, it'll be what it is. So it's going to be college football is going to become more like Major League Baseball versus the NFL, because in Major League Baseball, there's no salary cap. And the Yankees of the world and the Mets who have like a $500 million payroll now or whatever it is with their recent signings, it's just like, okay, you have those teams and then you have the Kansas City Royals. And guess what? The Kansas City Royals won a World Series not that long ago. So, but that's kind of what college football is becoming. So, interesting times for the sport that we all kind of love. Not gonna lie, I definitely had some moments this season specifically where it was just like, man, college football, you're really messing up a lot of what made us all kind of love this sport. And it's just like, all right, I'm not going to not watch, but it's also like it's taken a little bit away of that, like, just what made us all love, what made me love college football in the first place. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me. And it's just the third IPA talking tonight too. I don't know. But would you agree? Am I way off here? Or is it like college football's kind of brought us to an interesting.
It's just weird. That's all. And it's just the it's changing from what we're used to. And that's strange. You know, yeah. That's all it is. It's we'll get used to it, you know, and eventually we'll get used to it. And then there's something else will happen that we don't like. And we'll, you know, that's true. But it's just, you know, just because it's not something that I'm comfortable with doesn't mean that it's bad. It's just that I'm not used to it.
So. Yeah, and I don't even necessarily think like the portal or NIL in general, by the way, is bad. I think both of those things were good for the players. I just think like, and maybe it just comes down to the fact that I think just like the NCAA is just like kind of like a worthless organization. That like was just like, well, you know, what could we have done? It's like, well, you could have done a lot. you knew NIL was coming. You literally did nothing, right? So it's like, and then it's like the hot dog meme guy where the NCAA is like, we're all trying to look for the guy who did this. And it's like, no, you brought all of this on yourself. So yeah. Like all of these things I think were good for the sport in general. I just think that the execution has been so horrific that like I can't imagine a scenario in which the NCAA could have done worse. Like I can't even like take the transfer portal. Like I said, it's like, guess what? We're going to make this transfer portal. We're going to open it up the Monday or whatever it was. Like the Monday after championship games or whenever it opens up officially, it's like, we're going to open it up then, you know, with playoff games, with bowl games, you know, on the horizon. And it's like, well, did you guys not realize what was going to happen with it? So it is where we're at though. And it's making, I guess it's part of what makes the bowl games now like, you know, it's like, okay, this is cool. Cause like, even when, you know, Notre Dame wasn't in like, say like the BCS back, like way back or, you know, other bowl games, it was still like, oh, okay, this is like, I am amped for this game. Right. And not necessarily the case, you know, this time around. Yeah. Cause it's like, okay, Notre Dame's playing another 8-4 team that's missing 11 starters. Like, cool. I have no idea what to expect from South Carolina. And to your point, it's like, how do you scout that? And how do you, how do you break it down? I don't quite know. Cause it's like, okay, let's go look at these backups that played not a lot of snaps and try to analyze what they're going to do. So anyway, that was a tangent. But that was fun. That was a fun
tangent. You need to get off your chest.
Yeah, I do. I've been feeling it. It's like, it makes it a little less enjoyable. And it's like, you could only hear Notre Dame like, Notre Dame lost out because of NIL like so many times before you're like, hey, this is not the world that we want the Irish to be in. And it's like, maybe the other thing that gets me is like, we have wanted Notre Dame to have a head coach who is as good at recruiting as Marcus Freeman for so long. And it's like, we finally got it. And then right as we got it, it's like, guess what? This little thing is going to get rolled out here. That's going to unlevel the playing field even more because Notre Dame doesn't want to go down the route of guaranteed payments or, you know, or guaranteed NIL deals or whatever you want to call it, that other schools are, which, again, I don't, if you're a Notre Dame fan, I think you don't want Notre Dame too, because that's a part of what makes Notre Dame special. But it's like, we finally got that coach. It's like, God, shit. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, Then we have, I wish we could have had Marcus Freeman, like present day Marcus Freeman, though, like 8 years ago. Not like, you know, 8 years ago, Marcus Freeman, because what was he, like 31 years old 8 years ago or 30 years old 8 years ago? I mean, he might have still been in the NFL 8 years ago. I don't know his, you know, the exact timelines, you know, well enough. But it's like, man, present day Marcus Freeman 8 years ago would have been a fun thing at Notre Dame.
It would have been. I mean, even two, three years ago.
That's true. That is true. But hey, present day Marcus Freeman is still pretty fun. I like Marcus Freeman, and I think he's going to get us a bowl win on Friday, Greg. That's what I think. I think so. So, all right, let's go to questions. I know you got. We don't have unlimited time today. All right, let's go to them, and then we will wrap this up. Let's see, where are we here in the questions? I had them loaded up, and then I lost them, so I'm going to have to. Here we go. All right, we're going to start off with Chris Jenkins here. So Chris says to us, with the team awards that were given out a couple weeks ago, do you like the choices? Would you change anyone out, or would you add anyone? So remember the Echoes awards from a couple weeks ago. I don't think I had any problems necessarily with who was there. I don't know. What about you?
I didn't have a problem. I thought it was strange. The only thing that I was like, wow, is they gave Michael Mayer the Offensive Player of the Year and the team MVP.
Yeah.
Usually they don't do that.
Yeah.
I guess there's no other like really good option.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. Like, he's that good.
It's not that I don't have a problem with it. It's just usually they don't do that. That was the only thing.
Right.
If I was going to give it to someone who wasn't Mayer, it probably would be Estime. So.
Whoa. Wait, you would have given Estime which one?
Offensive Player of the Year.
Wow. Okay. I mean,
if you're giving Mayer the team MVP.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, he's the MVP of the team. Obviously, he's a better offensive player. Right. Or you could do like Joe Alt.
I was gonna say Joe Alt if I'm going anyway.
Like that's probably a better pick actually, but he's like a sophomore. But then so is Estime. Yes. Okay. So I guess that's probably a better choice.
They're a sophomore. They can't. No, it's like your best player should be your best player. So, but I mean, Mayer was just so good that like I have no qualms, no problems whatsoever. You know, with that being. You know, the selection that, that Notre Dame went with. And I'm just trying to scroll. I thought I had this loaded up, too. So I'm going to try to scroll and find it because I know I had it loaded up here to see if there were any others. I think the one thing that did – where is this? Come on. There's one thing that stood out to me as I look back to try to find this. Here we go. Like, you look at the at who won the awards. You have – Sam Asaf, Marty Auer, Bo Bauer, J.D. Bertrand, Avery Davis, Isaiah Foskey, Jack Kaiser, Prince Colley, Josh Lugg, Michael Mayer, Jarrett Patterson. If I'm looking at this and I go, like, a lot of these guys like didn't have the biggest impact on the season. And I think that's kind of like from a general – like overall perspective, how I would look at it. And I get there's reasons why the staff picks who they did, you know, that's motivating for some. It's also they want to reward different players who maybe aren't in, aren't in the spotlight. But that's kind of, you know, what I think, you know, stood out to me probably, probably the most, in kind of looking at it, but like no problem with any of those. I mean, it's great, you know, great representatives, you know, of the, you know, of the university, but it's like, if you're going to award 11, you're going to award 11 awards to your team. Like you look at this and it's like, how many of those players are going to the NFL? And it's not the point of these awards, but my point is like, if you want to be a program that's competing for national championships, the 11 players that you're highlighting at your award ceremony, you probably want, you know, more than half to have NFL futures. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case with how Notre Dame awarded them out, which speaks kind of to some of the, you know, where the roster is at in general. So I think that's the only thing I would, you know, kind of point out. I have no problem with any individual, you know, awards that, you know, that Notre Dame game out. I mean, if I'm being honest, again, if I'm picking the offensive lineman of the year, I understand why they gave it to Jarrett Patterson. He has been in the program the longest. He's earned it from a seniority perspective. But Chawalt is the best offensive lineman on this team. Like, hands down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he made first team All-American.
Yeah. I mean. You know, so, but I get why they gave Patterson that, you know, but that would be my take. So, all right, next question from Chris's final score prediction for the bowl game. I'm going with 38-28 in favor of the Irish, is what Chris said.
Okay. Yeah. I dig it. Yeah. Let's do it.
Gotcha. All right. I would say, yeah, I think that's a pretty good score prediction. I'm right in that area, too. I think Notre Dame's going to be able to win this game, and I think 10 points is a pretty good margin of victory. So, all right, next question is for me. He says, will you, Frank, continue to fly United? Because I alluded in the intro that I had some challenges with United Airlines. And for those who weren't following my tweet storms the last 2 days, what had happened was my wife, I, and our one-year-old son were supposed to fly to San Antonio, Texas on Christmas Day, you know, to spend the holiday with my wife's family. We decided to fly Christmas Day because it was just so much cheaper. And we're like, well, he's a year old. If there's a year that we're going to fly on Christmas Day where it doesn't make a difference to him, this is probably the year to do it. And Christmas Day is supposed to be one of the least traveled days of the year. So we're like, okay, you know what? Least traveled day. This is all like, this actually sounds good to us, traveling with a one-year-old. Cool, let's do it. Then the craziness happened to the weather last week, and we get to the airport on Sunday, you know, early. We get breakfast, we get a drink, go to the gate. We're like, oh, this is cool. You know, what's funny is I looked at the app, and the app was like, you're going to land early. And I was like, I don't trust this. I don't trust this at all. So I texted our family who's going to pick us up, and I was like, it says we're getting in half an hour early. I don't believe it. Here's our flight number to track just in case. And we get to the gate, and they're like, oh, we don't have crew. It's like, what do you mean you don't have a crew? Like, there's no crew for this plane. I'm like, you're supposed to board in 5 minutes, and you're just now telling us? Like, well, we were hoping to get one. It's like, okay. So plane was supposed to take off at 12:30. Delayed till 1. All right, whatever. And then we're delayed till 1:30. Then we're delayed till 2. Then we're delayed till 2:30. And we're like, okay. Now, at that point, we went to the bar and just sat and ordered some drinks. Then it was delayed till 4. And I was at that point, I'm like, we're not getting on a plane today. Then it was delayed till 5. Then it was delayed till 6:30. And then finally at like 5:30, they were like, your flight has been canceled. It's like, oh, this is great. So we go to the customer service line. It's just massively long. I'm sure you've all seen things on Twitter now of like what these lines look like. And it's just like, okay, there's no way we're getting on a plane anytime soon. So we were like, let's just call customer service and see what they say. And the customer service person was like, earliest I can get you anywhere close to San Antonio is like the 29th. Like, it's the 25th, sir. And he's like, yeah, 29th is, I can get you there the 29th. And it's like, well, that really doesn't help anything. So we're like, okay, let's cancel. We're staying home for the holidays. We have no food at the house at this point. We're like, whatever. They're like, well, now you got to go get our checked bags, because we had 2 checked bags because, you know, we had a lot of presents to take.
Right.
So we go down to the checked bag line, and it is also like just freaking massive. And I'm like, okay. At this point, we've been at the airport for like 8 hours, and it's getting close to the little guy's bedtime. And luckily we drove and had the car seat there. So I was like, why don't you take the keys? You go home with him. Get him ready for bed. I'll wait in this mess, and I will, you know, whenever it's done, I'll just hop an Uber and come home. Okay. Yeah. You know, wait 2 hours in line for them to be like, oh yeah, I don't, you know, it's going to be like 24 to 48 hours minimum till you get your bags. I'm like, awesome. This is great. Like, I'm like, okay, file the baggage claim ticket. And they're like, just check back tomorrow. I'm like, okay, check back tomorrow. Nothing. I'm like on the phone with customer service, like waiting on hold. I'm on hold at one point for an hour and a half, and then it just disconnects me. I was like, this is terrible. Finally this morning, after I forget what hour number we were at since we got canceled, I spent 2 hours on hold. I literally started it while I was making breakfast, knowing it was going to be a while. Like, made breakfast, we ate. I went to the grocery store. I ran some errands. I just had the little headphones in. I'm like, it'll connect eventually. 2 hours and 10 minutes, I think it took. Found out our bags actually flew to San Antonio. We did not. I don't know how the bags got there, but the bags got there. And they're like, they're flying back today. I was like, what? I was like, okay. I was like, what, when? And then she's like, you know, the customer service person was like, well, they're on United, blah, 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 blah. And they land at like 11:30. And I'm like, it's 10:30. I live close enough to the airport. I'm like, if I just go to the airport and go to the carousel, can I get them so I don't have to wait for you guys to get them and call me and process this? And she was like, I guess. And I was like, this is what I'm doing. And that's what I did. And I was, it was incredible. I actually left my house, got to the airport, parked, went to the baggage carousel, got the bags, stopped at the beer store after I got the bags because I needed beers, and was home in like less than an hour.
Wow.
I know, but no help from United. And I think I spent like 5 hours on hold with United through all of this. It was not fun. So to answer your question, Chris, will I fly United again? I almost have to, because Newark Airport, which is the closest to our house, is a United hub. And it's like, well, yeah, all the other, Southwest flies through there, but God, I will fly them after what they just went through. So it's like, well, yeah, that's the best option. I got nothing else. I'm not going to go to another airport. I can get to Newark without traffic. Newark Airport without traffic in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It'd be like an hour and a half for me to drive to like LaGuardia or even longer to get to JFK. So unfortunately, yes, I'm going to fly United again. Not fun. So
that sounds terrible. I probably would have lost my mind.
I really tried hard not to the people who were being nice and helpful. I will say the gate agents, just liars. All of them were just straight liars. Cause at like 12:30, they were like, no, we have a crew now. They're coming. And I'm like, oh, okay. So in my head, I'm like, well, the crew's coming. So what's it going to be? Maybe it's an hour, maybe it's 2 hours, but this crew is on its way. And like 2 o'clock, I'm like, what's going on? They're like, no, there's a crew coming. You know, they had to come from their homes. And I was like, what? They're like, yeah, they were all at home. We called them in. They decided. I was like, okay, well, this is, and again, in theory, I'm like, well, that kind of makes sense. They probably don't have a lot of crews on standby. So like, they got to convince people to come in on Christmas Day. It's Christmas Day. Who wants to come in? I'm like, okay, cool. And then at like 4 o'clock, the one gate agent was like the only person being like honest. I was like, there's no crew. I don't know what people. She's like, I don't know what people have told you, but there is no crew for this plane yet. We're still looking for one. And it was just like, that was the point where I was like, you know, it's like the Armageddon scene, like prepare the family for bad news. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. So it wasn't, I've had better Christmases than the one where I spent 10 hours. Oh, and the best part of this, or not best part, but the funniest part maybe is that, again, by the time I get home, it's like 9 o'clock on Christmas night. We hadn't eaten dinner. So we're like, we have like no food in the refrigerator because we were like, let's eat everything before we go because we're going to be gone for a few days. This way, when we come back, we'll just, you know, get groceries. And so it's like, there's nothing out. There's nothing defrosted. Straight out of Christmas Story, the Chinese food place down the street was still open. We got delivery, ate dinner, 9:30 at night, Christmas 2022. Pork lo mein and General So's chicken and egg rolls. That was that's what we had for our Christmas dinner this year.
I would take it.
It wasn't bad, you know, but it was also like, I just wish they knew the plane was not going to ever take off. I'm like, if you would have just canceled my freaking flight on Christmas Eve and I would have been able to know, like, I'm not going to go anywhere. Fine. I could have just like planned it. Again, we had stuff in the freezer. We could have cobbled something together and actually like had a legit legit meal. We could have spent the day together in the house, like just like, you know, together versus like sitting in an airport, passing the baby back and forth, trying to get him to stop crying. Yeah. It was not fun. Thank you, United. Anyway, that was our Christmas. It was one to remember. So anyway, the only good part was there was like a brief moment in the airport where my wife was walking the baby around in the stroller. And I was like, I'm just going to go sit at this bar over here. Sixers-Knicks game was on at the bar. I just started ordering drinks. Sixers started to come back. They won the game. And I was like, for a brief moment, it was like, oh, this is like not the worst. You know, I'm sitting in a bar. I'm having beers. I'm watching sports. My team won. This is great. And then all of a sudden, it was just went to not great. You know, so that was Christmas Day. I hope your Christmas Day was better. You know, I saw pictures you tweeted. Your Christmas Day looked much more festive than ours. So live and learn. Live and learn. All right. Next set of questions. I ranted enough about that. We got Oscar at Vamos Irish. As always, thank you, Oscar. Okay. I had to get some clarification from him on this. So you might need it as well. So I got it in case you do. He says the first part of his question is, all right. Okay. It's like a connector. It says like Jacksonville to Duval to the good place. Exploration of morality and theology equals a Notre Dame win, or Jacksonville to Duval to good old boys to love a cockfight equals South Carolina win. He's basically saying like, which of those two connections is more likely to produce a win?
I mean, unfortunately, I think the second one.
Oh,
if I'm being honest.
All right. If you're being, I'm just going to go to the one that connects to a Notre Dame win because that's what I want to happen.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go with that. Next question from Oscar: does Notre Dame lose any more players to the portal after the bowl game?
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Yes. We'll see how many and where, but I think we talked about that last week too, where we think it's going to happen. A couple of positions that stood out to both of us were secondary and offensive line are ones to look at. Next question. What's the best non-soup football that's typically served in a bowl?
So non-soup food.
Yes.
All right. So let's see. There's like teriyaki bowls. There's mm-hmm. There's like the burrito bowls you can get from like Chipotle.
Yep.
And what else? There's a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Bowl of oatmeal.
Yeah.
I had a delicious like so. There's like a Thanksgiving bowl that you can have.
Oh, we talked about
probably,
that.
I think it's probably that. I think it's probably the Thanksgiving bowl. Like the day after Thanksgiving bowl. Cause yeah. I had, so a lot of the food that we have, for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We talked about this. This was your leftovers meal.
Yeah. 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 So I think that's probably it. Cause I had something similar. So for Christmas, we have similar food. And so today I had, for Christmas dinner at my in-laws, I made a sweet potato casserole. So I made that. Oh. And I put that in a bowl with some cream corn and ham.
Nice.
And it was delightful. I have to say that was really good. So I'll say that, but it's better Thanksgiving because there's more food. So post Thanksgiving bowl. And if not that, then a bowl of orange chicken is the best.
Ooh, okay. All right. I'm jealous of those leftovers because you know what? Leftovers have been in our fridge the last now. Day and a half because we did get some groceries here today. But we had, because my parents also visited today because they dropped off our dog for us because our dog was staying with them. And originally, this is the other part of this whole travel ordeal that kind of sucked, was originally, Greg, I was going to fly back by myself tomorrow, Wednesday, when most of you are listening to this, I was going to fly back by myself to go get the dog. So my parents didn't have to watch him, on their own too long. Cause my parents are older and, they're in their like, you know, mid 70s and our dog is like a 2 year old. He is 70 pounds. He's a strong dog. He is also still got a lot of puppy energy. So we felt bad about this. So I was like, I'll fly back early. I'm going to go get him. I was going to have like two nights in the house to myself, just me and the dog. Me and the dog.
Man.
I don't have that anymore.
That's brutal.
I know. I had the brewery picked out I was going to go to on Thursday.
I mean, 2 days alone. If I ever had 2 days by myself, I don't even know. I need it so bad.
I know. I was like, oh, man, this is amazing. And then it was like, that was like, again, as the everything was getting canceled, I was like, that went through my head. I'm like, your days are gone. You're not going to get those. Because now it's like, we got to go somewhere. We can't, you know, the baby doesn't want to stay home all day. Right. So I was like, because even tomorrow was originally supposed to be like a 7 a.m. flight out of San Antonio, which means, you know, leaving for the airport at 5:30. Just like, what? Okay. I was going to have to get up, leave for the airport at 5:30, get on a plane, land, immediately drive like an hour, half hour, 45 to my parents' house to go get this dog. And obviously you can't just drive to your parents' house and be like, cool, I'm taking the dog, I'm leaving, and, you know, hang out for a little while. So probably would have had like a late lunch and then just got in the car and come home and been like two nights alone. No alarm clock, no baby waking up at 6:30 to wake me up. And I was like, ah, oh, it's going to be great. It's gone. It's gone. Thank you, United. So my best food, not in a bowl, since I went on another tangent there, is I got two. If I'm talking just meal, it's definitely a burrito bowl. We've talked about this. I love a burrito bowl. So that's my favorite thing, served in a bowl if it's a meal. If it's just any food, I'm going to go sundae, because that usually comes in a bowl. So a lot of ice cream, hot fudge, peanuts, the whole deal. Would be my number or my other non-meal. All right. Drew Brennan at Drew Brennan 77 says, seriously think the talent is there at wide receiver and the scheme is good too. So many times replays from this year would show where wide receivers were wide open. Lindsey could have 8 touchdowns. Can this offense be one of the better offenses in the country with Hartman at the helm next year? Yes, I'm saying it. I'm going for it.
It could. I mean, it could, right? Like,
it wasn't a bad offense this year with all of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It just, I think we're thinking about, like, can it be, like, the 05 team?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know that it can. I
do.
But I don't know. I mean, if you would have told me the 05 team in 04 would, you know, if
true.
Would have done like that.
Think about the talent. You had one good running back on the 05 team.
Yeah.
So this team could be pretty damn good.
It could.
If Hartman does end up being the quarterback. So I'm going to say yes. All right. We got Clancy, the Notre Dame Leprechaun, says the O-line improved over the season with Pine at quarterback. Will we see an O-line regression with the change to Buckner on Friday? Ooh. I don't think so. I don't know why you would. I mean, I think I kind of see maybe where he's going at is like with Pine, they knew he'd be in the pocket. He's not going to run. Whereas with Buckner, maybe you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, he could take off at any time. So maybe you're a little less conscious of the pocket. Maybe that's the thought. But I don't think we'll see a regression.
I think that would be so unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like, of all the units, like, they were probably the best. If both teams came back intact, Notre Dame's offensive line should be the best unit on the field. And yep. Notre Dame's offensive line stayed intact, and their defensive line did not.
Yeah.
It would just be so unacceptable. I mean, it like, not good.
Nope.
So it shouldn't happen. It better not.
I agree. Next question from Clancy. What does TCU need to do to beat Michigan on Saturday? Oof. Pray?
Not let them run the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think Michigan's they've obviously beat Ohio State, who's better than TCU, but at the same time, yeah. Like they tried to lose to Illinois. TCU's better than Illinois. You know, I think Maryland gave them a tough time. They're a good team. I don't think that people think, well, they beat Ohio State and therefore,
yeah,
you know, they're you know, TCU is going to be no problem, but you know, they got a bunch of big plays against Ohio State. Like, is that repeatable? Are they going to do that again? If it does, obviously they're going to kill them. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know that they should count on that.
That's true. I mean, I think they're going to be able to run the ball pretty well, though, on TCU, and then that might create a trickle-down effect.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think – I have no illusions that TCU is going to win that game as much as I would like them to. Or that – no illusions that TCU, yeah, will win it as much as I want them to. So, all right, next question. We have Chris Scheiber coming in. More frustrating slash worst game of any kind you watched or attended – or when it was over, if you weren't logical and of sound mind, you would have taken your anger out on a living room wall or by throwing kittens off a bridge. I have no idea where this question came from, Chris, but it seems very specific, and I respect it.
I assume he's talking about a Notre Dame game.
I took it that way, too.
I'm gonna
stick to attended.
Attended?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've watched, like, every one for the last, like, 30 years. So, I mean, there's a lot that you could...
Well, hear. The one that stands out where it was just, like, the most upset I've ever been was 2011 Michigan. I mean, I've talked about it before.
Oh, yeah. That's up there.
Where, I mean, I made a spectacle of myself at a game watch for my wife's, like, coworkers.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had taken the job, like, I don't know, 5 months earlier, 4 months. So it's not like, it's not like these were people who she knew and had, like, a relationship with.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, like, you work here now. Oh, you went to Notre Dame. Oh, my wife went to Notre Dame and I'm a Notre Dame fan. Let's have a game watch, right? And so there were, like, a lot of people there who I didn't know. Like, I didn't know anybody. And I made a complete spectacle of myself. And when the game was over, like, I sat in the corner and didn't talk to anyone. Like, that's literally true. Literally.
I love it.
And honestly, I didn't even sit in a chair. I sat on the ground. I was sitting on the ground in the corner. Just not talking because I was so angry.
Wait, were you guys married at this point?
No.
Oh my God, she's not married you.
We were not married. We had been together for about a year. We weren't even engaged yet.
Wow.
And yeah.
Man,
so
that is lucky. after that, that's amazing. Wow. I pouted a lot after that game too. Like, a lot. I remember parts of that night going out afterwards in New York City and just being at, like, some ridiculous club with, you know, a lot of fun things happen around me and my friends being like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I can't believe we lost that game. And they were like, shut up. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I can't. I'm not having fun. I'm not going to have fun tonight. I don't know why I'm here. This sucks. And they were just like, you're the worst. And I'm like, I am. I'm aware of this, right? I'm aware of me being the worst right now. I'm going to go home. so that was an awful one to watch. I think one game that stood out to me and that was just, like, so frustrating to go to, the one that first came to my mind was 2016 Texas, at Texas, because it was like, God, there was no reason to lose that game. DeShone Kizer just, like, slicing up Texas, and Brian Kelly being like, I don't care how good DeShone Kizer plays, I'm going to just put in Malik Zaire, or because I'm going to be I'm trying to be the good coach here and not take away his job because, he got hurt. But it's just like, dude, it was so clear to, like, literally everybody. And it's just like, you literally, like, turned this game around. Like, this was going to be a blowout. You ruined all of, like, the rhythm this offense had, and now Texas is back in this game. And then it went to over, and it was just like, I can't. It was like the whole, it was like BVG, you know, his defense, you know, in person. I was so upset after that. I was just like, I can't. And I had tickets to the next game, at the Michigan State game at Notre Dame Stadium. So I was like, this is great. I just watched this, and now I'm going to the game next weekend. Can't wait. Going to be fun. You know?
Yeah.
So that was one that came to mind. Next question from Chris. What's your earliest memory of Notre Dame football that has stayed with you through the years? I think I've talked about mine a few times on the pod. And it's 4th and 43 against Miami, which is fitting because on Christmas Eve, my pro team gave up a 3rd and 30 that was absolutely freaking ridiculous that lost them a game.
Did you see that was the same coverage that Notre Dame gave up the 4th and 21 to North Carolina?
I did not. Wait, the 4th and 21. No, I did not see that.
The garbage time touchdown. It's literally the same coverage.
Yeah. Funny. I mean, it was just, a backup player just playing horrible deep safety help. And then you have your Pro Bowl corner throwing him under the bus afterwards. And it's like, dude, come on.
What did he say? I didn't see that.
He literally, like, Darius Slay after the game was like, people need to do their damn jobs. He like almost direct quote. And it was like, sir, you're a Pro Bowler and he is like a sixth string guy that's playing because the slot corner got hurt and the starting safety who was leading the NFL in interceptions has a lacerated kidney and hasn't been playing for a month. So we have like a backup safety, you know, playing safety. It's just like ridiculous. It's like, dude, no, like, you're supposed to be a team leader. I think I actually tweeted it out. I was like, him throwing players under the bus was more concerning to me than any outcome of that game. I was like, that's not good vibes for a team that's had good vibes. But it was just so stupid. And that's my earliest memory of Notre Dame football, as the 3rd and 43. What about yourself?
Mine is the 91 Orange Bowl, the Phantom Cliff.
Oh, I remember that too. I remember that well. Exactly where I was at. Watched it in my basement at, and got very upset.
Yeah, we had people over for New Year's Day, and I said Rocket was going to turn it for a touchdown, and he did.
Yeah.
And they called it back, and I went and cried in my sister's room.
That's they about cheated. Right. Yes, they did cheat. They did cheat. There's a flag on the field. Shut up, Bill Walsh. It was Bill Walsh, right? It was the one that was yelling.
And so there's a flag. Definitely him.
Yeah, jerk.
There's a flag, Dick. I see a flag.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Like, I was not happy. Not happy that night. All right. Last one from Chris. We have already reading quote fans who say Hartman is a gadget quarterback. Horrible takes by them. But why do so many refuse to acknowledge a Reese offense can produce the numbers at QB when the quarterback is capable? Book had 3,000 yards with 35-6 in 2019. Hartman is a better pure passer than Book, in my opinion. Well, 2019 was not – well, 2019, Reese was the QB coach, not the offensive coordinator.
Right.
So that was Chip Long. So we can't really give Reese all the credit, all the credit for that. I think speaking to the other part of Chris's, question is, it's just some fans just like – literally, like, nothing short of Joe Montana, prime Joe Montana entering the portal and coming to Notre Dame is going to appease them.
I don't know. I don't know what gadget quarterback means. I don't know what that means. I assume it's because of the slow mesh, but...
The slow mesh, but if, like, anything, like, I don't know. It's just, like,
I think people think it's, like, the only thing they do.
Yeah, and it's like, no, but, like, so... It is kind of annoying that some fans have those takes right now, especially because he's not even Notre Dame. He's not even transferring to Notre Dame yet. We still need to. I'm gonna keep saying that every time Hartman Hartman comes up. But yeah, I mean, if it is him, he's gonna put up numbers, and then all those fans can be like, oh, this is fun. We like this. This was good. We should have been a little bit on board. A little bit more on board earlier. Another question about Sam Hartman. This is coming from Sean Martin at _ Sean Martin says, so is Sam Hartman happening or what? Follow up. What are your thoughts? We touched base on both of those. Wanted to read the question though, Sean, because we always read questions. So thank you for submitting. But again, hypothetical, not guaranteed yet. We've spoken our thoughts on what we think. We got Tom Whalen here says, trying to temper my enthusiasm over the potential. Thank you for putting potential in quotes there, Tom. Hartman transfer with sobering thoughts like, What if Buckner tears it up on Friday and Hartman turns his gaze elsewhere? Please help me carry my troubled mind, gentlemen. That is one interesting scenario we haven't brought up. What if Buckner just goes freaking ham on Friday? Right? I don't think it would happen. Let's say he goes 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. Do you think that alters anything at all?
No.
I don't think so either, but it would be fun. I hope he does. So there you go, Tom. I think Sam Hartman probably look at that and go like, yeah, I've had those games before for like 3 straight years.
Yeah, so. I just don't think I mean, first of all, I don't think that's going to happen. So
no. But, yeah, he
said, but you know. The reason that it won't make a difference is because if that was the type of thing that would be happening, then Notre Dame wouldn't be trying to find a quarterback in the portal.
Agreed.
Like, the reason they're trying to do that is because he's not going to do what you're supposing.
Right. But he could.
He could.
A lot of things could happen. I could have gotten on a plane on Sunday, but I didn't. So, all right. Next question we have from Joseph Remaz. I'm sorry, Joseph. I probably butchered that last name pronunciation, but Hooked on Phonics did not work for me. And his handle is at touchdownirish_. It says, do you think with next year's roster, even losing out on the 3 5-star recruits, the insertion of Sam Hartman catapults Notre Dame back into serious contention for the college football playoff?
I mean, in terms of next year, having Hartman is, would say more about Notre Dame's wins and losses than like Peyton Bowen, Dante Moore, Keon.
Agreed.
So
do you think Notre Dame is would you say catapults Notre Dame to playoff contention?
Yes.
I think so as well. That was kind of I think one of the missing pieces this year. And, if you have a potential elite quarterback next year, you got something to work with. So we got Joe Seiler coming in. Which would you prefer, having Buckner crush it in the bowl game and set himself up to be the number one guy, or leave some doubt and room for a quarterback battle? I think we just kind of answered this, where it's like, I don't envision a scenario where there is no quarterback battle. And if it's Hartman, I don't think it's a battle.
I mean, to answer his question, I would rather Buckner killed it.
Well, yeah.
Because that's a known thing.
Yeah. Right?
So yeah. I would rather that, but I know that's going to happen.
Valid, valid points. Last question, and then we can put a bow on this one, is from Jack O'Sullivan. Says, what, in your opinion, is the biggest piece of Notre Dame news since the season ended? Examples, Pine, Hartman, Bowen, Buckner starting the bowl game.
I mean, Hartman's hard because
it's hypothetical. If it was definite, like, it would be Hartman.
If it's definite, I would say Hartman. Yeah. If not, I would say Buckner being healthy to play to start. 100%.
All right. I would say, well, I don't know if I should even. I mean, I think Pine was the most surprising. I didn't think it would happen. So that was the most surprising. I think the most consequential, as of right now, is Bowen.
Because
even though I said last week, like, I counted him out mentally in this class months ago when it was like visit after visit after visit after visit, you know, elsewhere. But it was like, it was still telling people, you know, that what you want to hear on the Notre Dame side. So I think that is the most consequential so far. If you ask me again in a week, and in a week from now, if Sam Hartman is enrolled at Notre Dame and he's going to be your quarterback for next year, then it's Hartman. That's my take. And that's our last question, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Last question. No reviews this week either. So leave us some reviews, folks. You leave us a lot of questions and we love them, but reviews make us feel good too. You know, reviews will help me feel better about all my flight delays. So if you're still listening at this point, it would make me feel better if you gave us a 5-star review For listening this long. But I think that's going to be it. I know Chris, Jenkins told us 38-28 was his prediction. We both kind of agreed, but is that still where you're at in terms of, predictions for this game or not, just kind of general feelings? You think Notre Dame by about 10?
Sure. Yeah, I think Notre Dame's gonna win the game. It's hard to say, right?
I was just telling you, I wasn't convinced.
It shouldn't be convincing because I'm not. I don't have a lot of conviction. So
yeah, okay. Is there any scenario that would surprise you?
A scenario that would surprise me?
Yeah.
Nope.
Notre Dame loses by 20. That wouldn't surprise you?
No.
Wow, that would
be disappointed, but
I would be disappointed, but I don't think that's possible.
It's definitely possible.
No, whoa, you bite your tongue. It's not. We're not even gonna put that in.
It's possible.
I'm gonna edit that out.
They beat Tennessee by like 40.
I'm gonna go back and edit that out.
They beat Tennessee. They put up like 60 points something on Tennessee.
Yeah, but that was a different team.
I understand, but Notre Dame is a different team. Mistake could happen.
It would surprise me. It would still surprise me. So, all right. I'm going to say I think Notre Dame wins this game as well. I don't think a blowout from South Carolina is possible. Unlike Greg, who has just told us he thinks it is. For the let the record show that Greg said that, not me. But
I just said I thought they'd win by 10. Settle down.
You know what? I'm just saying. You said it wasn't. Impossible.
It's true.
I mean, technically, nothing is impossible. Just giving you a hard time. So I'm just excited to watch some football. It's a meaningful / not meaningful, Notre Dame football. 2-8-4 teams missing a lot of their best players, just squaring off on a Friday afternoon at 3:30, just like we all love, just like we all think of with college football. So, but it is going to be a hell of a lot more fun than talking about hypotheticals and NIL and will he or won't he type recruiting sagas that we've been talking about for weeks. So real football is going to be fun. I do hope Freeman gets the bowl win after the way last year's bowl went, just the way the season went. Notre Dame needs this game. I just said it's meaningless. It's not really. Like, Notre Dame needs to end the season 9-4 versus 8-5 for a lot. Just not even just for momentum reasons, but for more like optics on kind of where the program's at right now. So we need to win this game. So all right, with that. We could put a bow on this one. I know it's late here. It's getting late for you too. So, as always, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you, for the questions. And let's go Irish.